In one hand, she held a small pamphlet. In the other, a black clutch purse. And around her neck hung a tiny cross on a short silver chain. "I'm sorry to disturb you, but you're the first person I've met all morning, and I'm quite lost, you see." As a lifelong resident of Chawton, population 377, the man was not surprised. He was always one of the first villagers up and about in the morning, right behind the milkman, Dr. Gray, on his more pressing rounds, and the postman, doing his pick-up from the local office. "You see," she repeated, starting to adjust to his natural reticence, "I came down for the day from London. I took the train out here from Winchester to see the home of the writer, Jane Austen, but I can't find it. And I saw this little parish church from the road and decided to have a look around, to find some trace of her if I could." The man looked behind his right shoulder at the church. The same church he had attended all his life, made of local flint and red sandstone and sheltered by beech and elm trees. It had been rebuilt a few generations ago. Nothing notable was left inside of Jane Austen or her immediate family. He turned and looked back now over his left shoulder, at the small stile at the rear of the churchyard, through which one could just glimpse towering yew hedges, clipped into circular cones. Even as a boy, they had looked to him like nothing so much as extremely large salt and pepper cellars. The hedges ran along the south terrace garden of an imposing Elizabethan house set on an incline, with a gabled tiled roof, red brickwork, and a three-story Tudor porch covered in vines. "The big house is back there," he said abruptly. "Just past the church. The Great House, it's called, where the Knight family lives. Miss Austen's mother and sister's graves are right here. Do you see, miss, alongside the church wall?" Her face lit up in gratitude, both for the information and for his slow warming to the conversation. "Oh my goodness, I had no idea." Then her eyes began to well up. She was the most striking human being he had ever met. Like a model in a hair or soap advertisement in the papers. As the tears started, the colour of her eyes crystallised into something he had never before seen. A shade of blue, almost like violet. While the tears caught on rows of inky black lashes, blacker even than her hair. Looking away, he tried to step around her carefully, his dog Ryder now nipping about at his muddy boots. He walked over until he was standing next to the two large slabs of stone that stood upright in the ground. She followed him, the heels of her black pumps sticking a bit in the graveyard dirt, and he watched as she silently mouthed the words carved onto the twin tombstones. Backing away, he fiddled about to find his cap from his pocket. Brushing back the lock of light blonde hair that tended to fall across his brow as he worked, he tucked it up under the rim of the cap as he pulled it forward and down over his eyes. He wanted to be away from her now, from the strange emotion being stirred up in her by the unadorned graves of simple women dead these past 100 years. Off he wandered to wait with Ryder by the main lych gate to the churchyard. After several minutes, she finally appeared from around the corner of the church, this time stopping to read the inscription of every stone she passed, as if hoping to discover even more slumbering souls of note. Every so often, she would teeter a bit as her heel caught the edge of a stone, and she would grimace just so slightly at her own clumsiness. But her eyes never left the graves below. She stopped at the lych gate next to him and looked back with a contented sigh. She was smiling now, and more composed. So composed that he finally picked up a whiff of money in both her poise and her manners. "I'm so sorry about that. I just wasn't prepared, you see. I came all this way to find the cottage where she wrote the books, the little table, the creaking door," she added, but to no visible reaction. "I couldn't find out much about any of this while in London, so thank you so much for telling me."